You have got us on Friends Guerrilla Radio. That is the name of the show today, I think, you know.
Yep.
Unless you've got a better name there, Ali.
No. I like Guerrilla Radio.
Yep.
Yeah. My whole project for Fringe is to do with gorillas and baboons.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Do you think that maybe seeing you here, we could talk about those sort of things?
Yeah, we could.
we could keep it on the level of the truth.
What do you reckon?
I don't know. No, let's just go. All right, thanks for listening, everyone.
Okay, we're off. We're going to have coffee. Except that I don't drink coffee. What a shame.
You could just pour it on yourself, but it might hurt a little bit.
Yeah, it could hurt.
What are you doing then? Fringy stuff.
Well, my project is called Word Mills and Baboons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a thing that I've been kind of doing for the last couple of years, and it's finally making its way into the public in a kind of coherent way. I've done it in incoherent ways before.
So this is 5 years of work.
Not 5 years, maybe three.
7 years of work.
Yeah,
wow.
7 years of work. Listen 15 years of preparation have gone into this Fringe thing. There are two workshops, and all I'm really doing is asking people to come and be prepared to do some cutting and pasting. So get your scissors out and cut mm-hmm. some words out and then paste them into books or photocopies of books.
Oh, just be creative, I assume, too, is what you're going to allow.
Depend of your... Oh, no. 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 No, Mark. Don't be silly. I'm not going to let anyone do anything in their own particular style. They have to do it my way. No.
You can be like art school then.
Yeah. No, you can do whatever you like when you come to my workshop. I'm not very dictatorial, but the concept is to get a text from a book, and I'll have a bunch of books that you can use, and we'll photocopy the pages of these books, so you're not actually going to be sticking into the actual book, but you can if you'd like. There's some books that I'm prepared to alter permanently, and you put the he's and she's, you reverse the gender of everybody in the book. So every he you turn into a she, every her you turn into a him, every Mark you turn into an Ally. In terms of the names. I'm going to have a printer there and we can print out words so that we can do it, or we can just wipe them out and write them in or whatever.
Yeah, okay.
But then you get this result where everything is reversed gender. And mm-hmm. it's really interesting. It's usually hilarious. I started this whole thing.
You'd hope it's hilarious.
It's pretty hilarious. It's particularly hilarious when you use Mills and Boone's novels. Which is how it all came about. Because I just went on a bit of a binge of Mills and Boone's. I didn't ever used to be a regular user, but now I am kind of a regular user.
In an actual, like, you know, I enjoy Mills and Boone's books, this helps me relax.
Well, sometimes I just need to zone out, mm-hmm. and it's a really pure escapist thing. And it also is a sickness. Like, mm-hmm. I know it's not good for my soul to read these books.
A little bit like the Mills and Boone's disease that got around about 40 years ago.
Yeah, it was an epidemic proportions back then. But
which Mills and Boone's ones do you normally go for? Because they're categorised, aren't they?
You know your Mills and Boone's.
Yeah, I sure do. They're colour-coded.
They sure are. And they're only like, you can get 10 for 50 cents at the op shop. It's like amazing how cheap they are. And you can read them in about an hour and a half. Each novel, or 2 hours, maybe three, depending on how long they are. But
they're everywhere.
They're very slim volumes, and they just give you a bit of a fix.
Yeah, fair enough. What I mean? Yeah.
And when I go on a binge, I can, if I'd spend a weekend reading them, I would maybe read 10 in a weekend. You know, that's a binge, and I don't do much else. I just lie around reading books.
Do you feel like by altering these Mills and Boone's books that you're taking away some of its power, or changing around what the books have meant to be in that sense?
I found myself furious as I was reading them, but I couldn't put them down. Like, mm-hmm. I'd just be getting so angry. Because often in these books, the guys are very commanding, mm-hmm. very bossy, and the women are very sweet and biddable. They've often got very, very low self-confidence. They doubt themselves a lot.
Yeah.
And the men just, I don't know. But by the end of it, and sometimes in these books, it's actually abusive, the behaviour.
Yeah.
Like, I would categorise that very clearly as abusive, mm-hmm. not just subtly abusive.
And that's just how they all are too.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
And yet it's justified, because by the end of the novel, you see that he loves her and she loves him, so therefore it's all right.
Oh, that's okay then.
You know, as long as they get married in the end, it doesn't matter what
she
he does to her.
She might have a black eye or something, but yeah, you know. Yeah.
So it's kind of really, there's something really wrong, and this is what I mean when I say it's bad for my soul to read these books. But what I ended up doing, I had this sort of moment where I started, like there was one that enraged me so much that I wanted to tear it in half, you know, and toss it across the room. And I started imagining, okay, if I was writing this, because I'm a writer, if I was writing this, how would I have written it differently? Like, how would I have this character respond to, you know, make him, you know, to just sort of give a more even power balance or subvert it or give her a bit more spunk or give her something or make him nicer? Mm. You know, how would I have changed it? And then I just started in my head spontaneously going, well, what would it feel like if he was a woman and she was a man and it was written that way, and how would it go? And it was really refreshing and it was really funny. And
yeah,
it
cool. Made
it, I loved it. Yeah. And it felt like real people suddenly, and it makes it really obvious how, I don't know, how awful the behaviour is, because sometimes it slips past you and you don't realise how bad it is, because we're used to hearing about men being very commanding and women being...
You see it in movies all the time too. It's a regular sort of thing.
But when you reverse it, it either makes everyone seem more human or it makes you realise how awful the behaviour is.
Fair enough. Anyway. You've actually put a few examples in front of us that you've already done. Would you like to read one? Would you want me to read the one you've given me, maybe? Do you have one?
Yeah, you can read really it if you want. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you go.
All right, this is one that Alison has already done. I think it was from The Desert Prince's Mistress.
I love one thing I do love about Mills and Boons is the titles.
Yeah.
They're just amazing. Yeah.
Do you have the same titled one as me?
Yeah, this is part of the same book.
Oh, yeah. All right, here we go. Was it just his imagination working overtime, fueled by the information he had received, or was everyone else in the room, Lanny included, blind to what was as obvious as the blazing glare from one of the studio lights? The woman had royal blood running through her veins, setting her apart from everyone else, marking her out as a different breed altogether, as different as a lion standing amid a group of mewing kittens.
There's always this, there's this thing in Mills and Boons where they use, the guy is usually a CEO, a prince, some kind of very wealthy person or, you know, very powerful in one way or another. And so this, in this particular one, he, the guy who you just read out as a female is, has got, he didn't realise that he came from the royal family of a far off exotic country, and there's always involves, like, some of my favourite titles are like The Greek Tycoon's Mistress for a Night, or it's always like
the whole book's just in the title, yeah, and is. Then you're set.
It pretty much is, there's no mysteries there. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, so that's sort of an example of what we'd be doing. We'd be reversing that around. I've got Treasure Island as well.
Oh, yeah. Is that quite sexist? Is it Treasure
well,
Island?
It's just
is that
what you know, the majority of literature, not necessarily these days as much, but still, like J.K. Rowling's with Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. This is a woman writing a story. She was advised not to use her first name, but to use initials so that boys would read it, because if she's a female author, boys may not read it, right? And also, the majority of the characters in Harry Potter are boys.
Mm-hmm.
There's the bad guy Draco and his, like, henchmen are boys. Mm-hmm. Voldemort's a boy. Harry Potter's a boy. Dumbledore's a boy. Ron's a boy. Mm-hmm. Half the crew's a boy. You've got Ginny and Hermione are women. They're the only two girls, really, and Luna. And then, you know, so there's this gender imbalance even in contemporary fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that J.K. Rowling was advised to make her name not a woman's name.
Stuff happens a lot more than we know, though, isn't it?
But historically, the majority of characters in novels for adults or children are guys.
Yep.
And Treasure Island is no different. Like, the majority of characters are boys in Treasure Island. But it's also about pirates, and it's really a beautiful description of these kooky characters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. So I've got, I could read you a little bit from the first page.
Oh, please do so. Go for it.
This is in reverse gender, right? So I remember her as if it was yesterday, as she came plodding into the inn door, her sea chest following behind her in a handbarrow, a tall, strong, heavy, nut-brown woman, her tarry pigtail falling over the shoulder of her soiled blue coat, her hands ragged and scarred with black broken nails, and the sabre cut across one cheek a dirty, livid white. I remember her, looking around the cove and whistling to herself as she did so, and then breaking out in that old sea song that she sang so often afterwards. 15 women on the dead woman's chest, yo-ho-ho, and a bottle of rum. In the high, old, tottering voice that seemed to have been tuned and broken at the capstan bars. Then she rapped on the door with a bit of stick like a handspike that she carried, and when my mother appeared, called roughly for a glass of rum. This, when it was brought to her, she drank slowly like a connoisseur, lingering on the taste and still looking about her at the cliffs and up at our signboard.
Very good.
But how cool, like, you don't ever get women characters described like that.
No, gosh, no, of course not. Very rarely. I'm sure there's bits of fiction here.
How cool is she?
Yeah.
She's awesome. I have
You've
friends.
Made her pretty badass.
I've been telling a friend of mine. Yeah, exactly. Totes badass.
Yeah. Because women can't normally be that. You know, you've got to cut bits of paper out from one and chuck it in another just to do that.
But it makes it really clear, because if you set yourself the task of writing a female character as an equal to a guy, you would still put in considerations of femininity. Mm-hmm. And when you reverse the gender, all of those considerations are taken out. So she's not, you don't ever talk about her caring about shoes or nails or bowing down backwards to make a relationship work. Mm-hmm. You know, you describe her as strong and robust instead of beautiful. Mm-hmm. There's all of these words that subtly indicate whether it's masculine or feminine. And when you just blanket rule, reverse everything, everything stands out really clearly.
And it's obvious, yeah. It's totally obvious. Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, that's what the workshops are about. You can bring your favourite novels and we can do an experiment. We'll photocopy them so you won't be pasting into your actual book. And cutting and pasting. And I want people to read them out.
And oh, that would be fun, as I can put to the laughs already. That would be really good.
And I might get people, I might record it, and because I want to start podcasting. I want to, like, I might read the whole of Treasure Island in reverse gender and do it as podcasts.
Really?
So this is what I want to do ongoing. But, yeah.
Oh, that'd be a fantastic thing to do if you ended up doing that. You've chosen a song here which is based on, you know, what you're talking about at the moment and what you're going to be doing with your show.
So this is...
I was just going to say, we've been trying to play local bands, so we thought we'd play another one with
this
the Kinks.
This is not local. So not local. Yeah. This is the Kinks and this is Lola. And this is a really old song that when I heard it as a kid, I had no idea he was talking about someone who was a transvestite, you know. But then... listening to it as an adult, I'm like, oh, he's talking about getting picked up in a bar by a guy dressed as a girl. And but it's not a typical story. He actually ends up at the end of the song saying, you know, I wouldn't give her up, you know. And it's a beautiful acceptance, but confusion, like he describes the confusion of that moment of discovering and all that sort of stuff. So it's a good song. It was my theme song. I tried to do a midnight radio show with this reverse gender stuff. I lasted about 3 weeks. But this song was my theme song.
Very good. Well, let's play Ali's theme song.